The title of the message this morning is Let Go. Let God be God. Let God be God. Let God be God. Amen. You could be seated. I love the fact that we sang all of those songs this morning. I'm not going to be before you long because I want to pray a blessing over you at the end of the service. God being in control. It's easier said than done. God actually being in control. Sometimes we can lose track of the fact that maybe we're not letting God be God. Especially in the world we live in, y'all. We live in a world where in your hand, you have so much knowledge on your phone, in your pocket. There's so much knowledge that we walk around with every day. At the click of a button, you can find out just about anything you want to know. Just about anything. But for some reason, there are so many times that we find ourselves, I will speak about me, I find myself, although I have all of this access to knowledge, I can't quite predict what's going to happen tomorrow. I can't quite predict how my situation is going to turn out. I've been in so many situations where the nuance of life comes in. And then I find myself in all of my planning and all of my systematic thinking. I have a very A-type brain and I've learned to not let it control me. But I find myself, as much as I plan and as well as I plan, I'm not quite prepared for the new, because sometimes new looks bad. We're used to knowing. And that was the thing with the Pharisees. We think Pharisee and we think really bad people, but really the Pharisees were a group of people that had so much knowledge. They knew so much, but then all of a sudden, this man comes on the scene and they can't quite figure it out. How many times have you been in any kind of situation in your life where you're going along and you got all of this knowledge and access to knowledge, but something happens and something comes on the scene and you can't quite figure out what's going on? Something presents itself into your life and in all of your polishedness, if that's a word. And this is why the Bible says the plans of a man may be many, but it's the Lord's will that shall prevail. And you know what? That has nothing to do with you being saved. That's every single person on the face of the earth. Whether you're serving him or not, his plan shall prevail. The Pharisees had all the answers, and then suddenly this man comes on the scene. And they can't quite figure him out. Not only is he showing them up, but they can't quite figure out how he does the simplest thing. And they find himself having to go to Jesus to ask him, okay, wait a minute, maybe you are. See, in their head, maybe they were trying to trip him up, but all they were doing was making his case for him. Showing themselves to just be human like everyone else. And they had to ask Jesus, so when is the kingdom coming? Sometimes you'll find yourself having to finally ask God, when is this storm gonna pass? When is this situation gonna resolve itself? What do I do next? That's right where God wants you. Sometimes, when you think that all hell's breaking loose, it's really God stepping into your situation. Because when God comes on the scene, he comes with noise. So the thing sometimes that we think is the enemy shaking our lives up and ruining our plans is really God saying, now I can be heard by you. Because when God steps in, when God finally is allowed to be God, all things have to shift. He actually starts to rearrange the spiritual furniture of your life. He actually starts to take some people out of your life. He actually allows people to break your heart. Because for some of us that have all knowledge and so much access to knowing, and we plan so well, that's the only way you're going to hear him. God never enters a room unless he wants to change it. Why would he waste his time just being there? So if you're sitting here today and you felt the Spirit move you, my sister who was weeping after the prayer, she probably came into this building thinking, I'm just going to go to worship. I'm going to go to church. I just need to be in the atmosphere. But little does she know that the heartbreak that she's feeling is really God rearranging the furniture in her life so that he can finally be God. And he's done that for me. And I know he's doing it for you right now. For those of you where your situation looks bleak, he's just trying to be God. Because the only way that sometimes we smart people can hear him, the only way you will stop and sit down is if he takes your chair from under you and you fall, and then he has to be your chair and he has to be your rock and he gets back to being your foundation. You got to let him be God. The thing that was good was the knowledge. So, like the Pharisees, we have so much knowledge. If I said, by a show of hands, how many people in here have your master's degree? If you have your master's degree, raise your hand. Look at all these master's degrees. If you just have your bachelor's, raise your hand. Just about everybody in the room is so educated. And it's a good thing. Knowing's a good thing until you think that your knowing is actually getting you somewhere. Until you forget that it is in him that you live and move and have all of your being. Until you forget that he is the one that has all power. He is the omnipotent one. He knows everything. And that's when all you have is knowledge. So like the Pharisees, they had all knowledge, but they lacked faith. They started to depend on what they knew a little bit too much. You got to get a balance. You got to get back to having a balance and remembering that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and everybody who's in it. The Pharisees depended on the knowledge that they had, but that was all that they had, was the knowledge that they had. I'm sure they researched everything like we do. They read just about everything. They were schooled real well. But then Jesus steps on the scene, and their knowledge becomes questioned. Can you imagine people finally looking at them like, do they really know what they're talking about? And see, that's what we're afraid of. We're afraid, especially in this generation. And my millennial daughters and sons, it's not just about being a millennial. It's everybody. We're afraid of looking bad. We're afraid of failure. So we will stay up all night strategizing about our next post to make sure people know that we know what we're doing, when all the time we don't. I'm telling you, I'm 52 years old, and it is hard to keep up with this posting thing. I mean, I'm dragging that leg. I'm trying to keep up. But here's the thing. Just using this free registration as an example, I've been doing Wives and Wives-to-Be. I've done it 4 times in the last 15 years. And I've never had more, which is a great number, and I wasn't complaining about it, than 250 to 350 women. And I thought that that was great. And I studied, I planned, I wrote things out. I have this whole teaching. It's really great. But it was not until I realized, and this is where this message comes from, I realized that I was dependent on what I knew and what I had already done. So when I was in a meeting, and they were like, well, how many women do you think you want to set up for? I was like, well, like 300, 350. And I had all my stuff all lined up, and it seemed to make sense. Hadn't said anything to the church, and I didn't look at the registration. By the time we got to the day where we advertised it to my own church, they had closed registration because we had reached the 300 women already. You know what that said to me? That said to me that I needed to shut it down and let God do what he wanted to do with this thing. And so now I had to stretch my faith to see how many women are going to be interested in this. And as we entered into this consecration, I just laid it before the Lord. And the next thing I know, two, three weeks later, it's like almost 1,100 women. That is nothing I could do in my own knowledge. Do you understand me? When you let God be God, when you finally give him back the control of your life, he will do more than you could ask or think. Your strategizing and your plans, there's nothing wrong with that. Jesus didn't say that you should not plan. He said, don't worry about the plans. What you have to do is you got to submit every plan that you have to him. And that is the secret of success. If I've had any success in my life, if there's any miracles that have been performed in my life, it is because I got to the end of Lashon and I finally let God be God. And I'm no different than you. It takes me a minute too. But after today, my prayer is that whatever it is, you will finally let God enter your situation. But get ready. He's going to move some furniture. You know, like when folk get ready to have a fight. They say, there's going to be some furniture moving up in here. There's no fight, but God will move stuff, and you won't understand. Get ready to not understand, but thank God he's omnipotent. And as long as you just let him be him, it just happens so much faster. Your blessings come and quickly. And knowledge is power. And that was the power that the Pharisees had, but there's a problem with the power. The power comes with issues. And I'm just going to tell you four of them. We can go on and on with the issues of having too much knowledge power. The problem attached to knowledge power, I got four of them. You can write these down. Number one is when you have too much knowledge power, your Christianity can become about works and not about faith. How much can I read? How much did I research? What did I do in my own? There's no malice in it. It's just the way that the enemy tricks us all up. We have to be careful that our Christianity, even coming into this room, doesn't become something that we just do. That we're not tap. You come into this room, you have to immediately tap into the Spirit of God, whether you feel it coming from the stage or not. The only reason why we have a stage is because we want everybody to be able to see who is speaking so that you can focus. That's what Jesus did. They built him a platform, and he stood on it. And he preached to the masses. That's the only reason. It's not because I'm standing here or pastor stands here and we're so great. We got struggles too. And I struggle sometimes with not realizing, not remembering that this is not about a work. And God's trying to stretch my faith. And then number two, the second kind of problem you can have with power, knowledge power, is that you can end up with no real relationship with God. You see, God wants relationship, not your works. Be very careful, because we're teaching those that are watching. You're teaching the person on your job. You just taught the person next to you that's a visitor what it means to be a world overcomer by standing there praising or just standing there, waiting for worship to be over, not really listening to the words of the song. Our God is in control, steadfast and movable. Nothing's impossible. Why? You've heard it over and over again, so you just kind of like, yeah, you know, let's get to the next song. God wants relationship so that you feel the Spirit of the Lord even when others don't. I never allow whoever's on this stage singing or preaching to stop me from getting what I need. And then number three, one of the things that happens when you have so much knowledge is that you start to have a prayer life that's a head prayer life. Your prayers become head prayers and not heart prayers. You see, it's man that looks at what's in your head, what comes out of your head, but it's God that looks at your heart. God wants to get to the heart of some people in this room. He wants you to take your intellectual self and put it to the side. He wants you to surrender to him. He wants you to not be afraid to be prostrate before him. I had a conversation with our youth, new youth pastors. And I was saying to them, it's so good that our teenagers come and they're not afraid to come to the front and worship. But here's the thing that I've noticed in the past year, is that we've taught them how to come out from the crowd and stand up front. But somewhere along the line, we didn't teach them about the sacredness of standing here. And so I said to Daniel and Joshua that we gotta teach. See, when I was a teenager, I got saved at 19 years old. And when I was a teenager and we were youth pastors, the one thing that we did was like, you didn't just stand here. And you know, it's not just the teenagers, because literally I'll see adults standing amongst the teenagers and they're texting. Oh, we're calling the devil out this morning. Do you understand that the enemy counts on that so you'll miss the opportunity? He wants to take your focus off of what God is trying to do in your life, but the devil is a liar in here. Now, we got to get to a place where God is not so watered down. We want him to be a good taste in the people's mouth, but we cannot water the Spirit of God down. If you stand before the altar of the Lord, you got to know what to do when you're there. And that can become the problem, is that it becomes about what's in your head and not what's in your heart. And then number four, the problem with knowledge is that when you don't know, when your knowledge ends, worry sets in. Worry and anxiety are rampant in all of our lives. And it becomes difficult to take captive every thought, like the word tells us. Because we need to get back to leaning on the Spirit of God that's already on the inside of you. Even if you don't think it is, it's there. We just need to wake it up and we need to feed it. We've gotten physically casual in church, and I don't mean the way we dress, because clearly I'm standing here in a jumpsuit. I don't wear stockings, and I don't wear a church hat. So it's not about that. But what it's about is that no matter what clothes that you wear, or the fact that we have tablets instead of Bibles, The Spirit of God has still got to be able to be just as strong as he was in the Old Testament and be just as strong today. That's heart knowledge. That's experience. That's relationship with God. Because when you have relationship with God, anxiety does not control you. It may come in, but it does not control you. And here's the thing I've learned. It's taken me years, but I'm starting to see that, number one, when the furniture starts being rearranged in my life, oh, wait, God, you're trying to say something, right? I don't always blame it on people or the circumstance. It's not about what I see. It's about what I know. And so what I know is that when God is stepping on the scenes, suddenly things start to change, that and it doesn't make sense. People will do things that you never expected them to do, all because God is trying to make you separate, and he's trying to re-enter your life in a whole new way. And of course, the enemy wants to take it and make you focus on what you see, but if you focus on what you know about God, you'll just step back and let go and let him fight the battle. And you won't wrestle so long. And I've also learned that when things start changing, that the not knowing no longer stresses me out. I have a saying that I've been saying for years, and those of you that know me, stuff starts looking crazy. I'll be like, well, the Lord knows. Because I don't know what the heck's going on right now. I've been saying that for years, but finally it has become a part of who I am. You see, your not knowing is supposed to ignite faith and not fear. So think about it. The next time you can't quite figure out what's going on in your life or the circumstances that surround you, just remember, it's time to increase my faith. Because faith says a couple of things. Faith says a couple of things. Number one, faith says I won't allow the outside factors to rob me of my joy. Because the joy that you have is actually the Spirit of God that's on the inside of you. So if you have no joy, the Spirit of God on the inside of you has not been fed enough. Because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. So if you find yourself lacking joy, hey, it's time to turn the heat up on your relationship with God. I've learned to run to the altar. I've learned to go back to the cross when I don't know what to do. Because I don't want my life to be ruled by the circumstances. You're going to always have circumstances. There's going to always be haters in your life. There's going to always be people that disappoint you. You will have people, you'll be laid off one day. But if you don't know God the way you should know God, that thing will wreck you. I've learned to hold on to God when everybody leaves. I have learned that he is the only one that'll never disappoint me. He is my Father. He's my Abba. He's my everything. And if you hear nothing else, you got to learn to hold on to him, because people are faulty. Situations change, and the enemy is arrayed against us. You cannot allow circumstances to dictate your behavior. You cannot allow circumstances to have you run and do things that you would never normally do. Pastor and I have a preacher friend, was his preacher friend, great guy. He ran into some real trouble in the past few years. He's gotten himself together now. But Pastor saw him somewhere, and he smelled like alcohol. And so pastor didn't say anything. I mean, he's, you know, if someone smells like alcohol. Now, my mother was an alcoholic. When someone smells like alcohol, it's not because they just had a drink. It's because all they do is drink. So it's coming out of your skin. It's like garlic. You eat enough garlic, we're going to smell garlic. So this man, the enemy, this is a man that will preach the roof off a place. But trouble entered his life. And all of his head knowledge went out the window. And he resulted, the enemy had him running to alcohol, almost lost his family. And just because you have a gift, that has nothing to do with your relationship with the Lord. Because it is in him that you live and move and have all of your being. Every thought, every strategy you have, it comes from him. And if you want it to be great, you better submit it to him today. If it ain't working, submit it to him. And if he says, turn around and go the other way, don't you be afraid of what the crowd says. Because they're not going to be there when you're crying in the middle of the night. They ain't going to be there when your kids don't respect you. They're not going to be there when your wife leaves you and takes those kids. Never be afraid to turn around. Know that he is the God of a second chance. Amen? And so this is what I want to do in the last few minutes that I have. And I can't even remember if I gave them this scripture, but God told Moses to tell Aaron and his sons, they were the priests over the Israelites, how to pray for the people in Numbers chapter 6. And so I'll read this and then I want to break it down a little bit. And then I want to pray for you. This simple message, y'all, is just saying, let's get back to the heart of the matter. I want you to leave here and be able to go back to your house, back to your job. If your marriage is failing, back to your bedroom. And I want you to be able to apply this to every area that's failing in your life. Never be afraid of saying, I was wrong. I'm failing. The enemy counts on our pride. And society don't help it. But in Numbers chapter 6, the Amplified Version, reading from verse 22, and I'll just read it by myself. It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you, protect you, sustain you, and guard you. The Lord make his face shine upon you with favor and be gracious to you, surrounding you with loving kindness. The Lord lift up his countenance, turn his face to you. Be divine approval, with divine approval, and give you peace, a tranquil heart, and life. And so Aaron did that. Aaron and his son shall put my name upon the children of Israel. Let's just break this down just a little bit, y'all. And this is going to be my prayer for you. That when the Lord blesses you and keeps you and protects you and sustains you and guards you, that is like building a wall around you. And within those walls, he keeps nourishing you. So I pray that the Lord would bless you. And then Aaron said to the people, may God's face shine upon you with favor and be gracious to you. So God's face shining on you is just that favor. Because where your knowledge ends, God's favor needs to come in. He said that men would pour into your lap, that you wouldn't have room enough to store. It's not just about money. What do you really need? You won't have room enough to store all of the healing anointing God's bringing in your life. You won't have room enough to store all of the favor God wants to bring in your life. Those walls are up now. He is encamping his angels around you to protect you in all of your ways. And then he's pouring into you favor. And then the Bible tells us, I know I'm going kind of fast. It's supposed to be notes, but I feel like I need to rush because I really want to pray for you. And then he says, his grace and loving kindness. He'll do it with grace and loving kindness. You know why we need that? We need that because we fail. We need that sometimes because we make mistakes. Grace will come in. God's loving kindness will come in and it'll wrap its arms around you and say, it's going to be all right. You made a mistake. You made the wrong decision, but I'm going to fix this thing. Just let me hold you for a minute. Don't sit there wallowing in the fact that you made a mistake. It's all right. I'm God. I can fix any situation. I need God's grace. Oh my God, I've made so many mistakes. I made so many bad decisions that actually affected my own children. God, I need your grace. And then it says, he'll turn his face towards you. That means that God's going to pay you some attention. God knows exactly where you are. And I believe that he's about to pay you some attention. He's going to look deeply into your situation. He's going to start focusing on you and make you feel like you're the only person on the earth. And then things are going to start to change and dust is going to come up. But know that this is God paying you some attention, that that's his face shining on you. May God's face shine on you, every single person under the sound of my voice. And then the Bible tells us that he'll give us peace. And what that means is, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. That no longer will you walk around afraid and people think that everything's okay. I spent most of my life with a face that looked like this, but my heart was breaking. And I was afraid of the next day that was coming. I can't tell you how many nights I tried to turn the lights off because I was too afraid as a young woman to sleep in the dark. But God saved me. He heard this poor girl's cry and delivered me from all of my fears. And I looked to him and my face was never covered with shame again. And so I'm asking God to give you peace so that you can sleep tonight. I'm asking God to bring peace into your home so there'll be no more arguing, so you don't have to act like you're saved, you'll really be saved. I'm asking God to give you peace so you don't have to have another drink to calm down. I'm asking God to give you peace so that you won't have to argue and war within yourself and second guess yourself. May God give you peace. And then Aaron told the people that God's name was on them. And when God's name is represented, when God's name comes up, the enemy has to stop. He can't go any farther when the name of the Lord is mentioned. And may God's name block whatever's been blocking you. May doors open in your life in the name of Jesus. Where you've hit a wall, may it be pushed even further so you can keep on going. May God create a door inside the wall that you can walk through. I want to pray for you. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. If we had the time, we would anoint every single person in this room. But here's some direction. I want you to go home today. Read Numbers chapter 6. Put it in your car. Put it in on the wall of your office. And you take that, and every day until you get breakthrough. Why don't you lay your hand on your heart, one on your heart and one on your head. I'll pray this same prayer and you'll be dismissed. Earlier we prayed for one another. Let's pray for ourselves. Hallelujah. 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 May God be with you all as you leave this place, but never from his presence. May his presence always be with you wherever you go. And may this week you find him on every turn. May he catch you lest you dash your foot against a stone. May he keep you safe in his arms and in his care. May he take worry out of your heart. May he be gracious to you in the areas where you need grace. May he turn his attention towards you so that you won't feel alone and you'll know he's got it all under control. May you begin to break your own heart so that he doesn't have to do it for you. May you get the boldness to surrender all of your burdens to him. May he bring favor into your life like you've never seen it before. You're not a loser, you're a winner. May you begin to break generational curses all over your life. May you walk with boldness in the Spirit of the Lord. May he bless you. May he bless you. May he keep you. May he keep you. May his face shine on you. May he turn his countenance towards you, never his back. May his countenance be turned towards you specifically. And may he bring peace like you've never felt it before. Father, we pray for an anointing all over this room. For every single one of these believers to know you on another level, to know you to be the Lord thy God that has brought them out. May they find joy in the midst of what the enemy tries to bring. May they be able to laugh at the days to come, knowing, Lord, that it's because of your anointing in their life and the relationship with you that they're confident in, Lord, that you've got it all under control. We're letting it go, Lord. We're letting it go. We're letting it go. May God find you wherever you are. May he find you wherever you are. May he find you wherever you are in your heart today. And may he calm every storm. Father, we lay out a red carpet. We say, walk as far into our situation as you want to walk. We give you the reins of our life. We confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives. And we ask you, Lord, to rule in our affairs once again. Lord, forgive us for taking the reins from you. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to lead us in the way everlasting. And Lord, we just ask you to not take our knowledge away from us, but Lord, anoint our knowledge. Anoint every plan, Lord God. And if it's not your plan, show us your heart, Father. Show us the way you want us to go, because we want to go the way you want us to go, God. Because we know in that way we will prosper. And all the world will see how great you are, how great you are, how great you are. And Lord, for everything you're about to do in my life, for everything you're about to do in your people's life, for everything you're about to allow them to overcome, for every way you're about to take them, for all the new that's coming in their life, we give your name the glory. We give your name the honor. We give your name the praise. Oh, come on, lift up your voice. We give your name the glory, the honor, and the praise, oh, great King. Can we just seal that prayer with a praise? Have your way, God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you need prayer, if you need additional prayer, where are the deacons and the elders? Come up here quick, because I got to get out of here. We got another service. These are our deacons and our elders. If you need additional prayer, if you need hands laid on you, you can come up here to one of them. We ask you to move quickly if that's what you need. If you don't need prayer, God bless you. You are dismissed. We want to leave no stone unturned. If you need additional prayer, the elders and the deacons of World Overcomers are here to pray for you. God bless you as you go. Amen. Amen.